invented languages and painting meet this time on Culture File. Owen McHugh is a Berlin-based Irish artist who's been exploring the world's invented languages and how they might relate to what happens each day in the studio. McHugh's latest Dublin show of paintings and drawings takes its title, Loye Yellow Lasu, from the sole three words for colour in the invented language of Toki Pona. In mid-vernissage, McHugh came to Culture File Towers to talk a few words of Toki Pona and a smattering of Hildegard von Bingen's Lingua Ignota.
My name is Owen McHugh. I am an artist born in Dublin and now based in Berlin. Berlin's an incredible city. I haven't seen much of it, to be honest, for the last year. My little daughter is 11 months old, so I've been playing peekaboo with her for the last while and also playing peekaboo with my gallery for the past few months working towards this exhibition. So between one or the other, I'm busy out, but it's a really beautiful place to live. I moved from Wicklow. I was living on the top of a little hill there in the middle of nowhere, a really gorgeous place. Took a while to beat the Wicklow out of me, but I love Berlin.
The title of your show gives people a clue as to what your interest in languages might be.
Now I'm going to mispronounce this, but
that's the thing. Is there any? If this is an invented language, are there any mispronunciations?
There are actually. I think the language is Toki Pona. It's actually set up in terms of pronunciation that it goes with the international phonetic kind of standard, but that still doesn't mean I'm going to pronounce it correctly.
But you've taken three words from that language.
That's right.
And they're the title for the show and also one of the pictures.
I'm going to try to pronounce it. Loye Yellow Lasso. That means red, yellow and blue or green. So they're the only words for colour in the language.
Why is that?
The language is invented by Sonia Lang. She was going through a period of depression and she really wanted to try to simplify her approach to the world and her way of dealing with other people. She really wanted to narrow things down, so she really wanted to be able to express complex ideas through the simplest possible means. So, for instance, besides the colour, then there's also numbers. So she only has words for one, two and many. I think, again, that just shows she was trying to limit things as much as possible because, let's face it, I mean, there are plenty of... I think the English language has 1 to 2 million words and the average person has a vocabulary of maybe 20,000. So really, we could afford to reduce things down a little bit and especially to clarify your way of dealing with the world and with other people, it's really nice to kind of narrow things down. One of the things I really like about invented language is the fact that they are essentially daft. People want to kind of rewire themselves to the world and not the other way around. And they try to really put their own ideas first. And I think that's kind of wonderful. So it says a lot more about the creator of the language than it does maybe about the world a lot of the time. Though this is one of the examples of an invented language that some people have actually taken up with it. So there are people that communicate with it. There aren't very many who do it. And I don't think there are any shops that you can go to and speak in that language.
You did find that there is a kind of tradition around invented languages that goes back to the Middle Ages.
Hildegard von Bingen is somebody I'm a real fan of. She's a 12th century abbess from Bingen. I've been a fan of her kind of mystical writings, her compositions. She was a pioneer of the morality play and really an incredible woman at the time. But she invented her own language, Lingua Ignota. She didn't write explicitly about her reasons and there are only kind of fragments of the language left. So the hypotheses that surround it then are kind of, on the one hand, political. So she was involved in a lot of the religious kind of controversies of her time, or certainly some of them. She had dealings with popes and various other people. And it's thought that maybe, especially as a woman in power in the church at that time, she needed to be kind of secretive. And if there was anything that she wanted to say, which may have been in any way unorthodox, let's say, then it would have been great for her to have her own special language. On the other hand, she was a mystic and a very creative person. And, I mean, on the other end of the scale, you could say maybe that this was a mystical language for her to better understand God, to better talk to God or talk to people about God.
Where does your own interest in these invented languages emerge?
Directly how I got to this subject was I was having a problem titling. So I always find that such a difficult thing to do. I mean, as a painter or if you're working as a sculptor or what have you, then you can spend a lot of time in the studio doing something purely visual. At the end of the day, you have nothing to talk about when you go home. I added a little bit of green to the painting today or whatever. I mean, it can be very limited. And titling then is just another part of that for me. Some of the work I do take a long time. And to try to sum it up then, there are kind of standard tropes used within the art world. So you have the kind of the laconic description, woman in red hat, or you have a lot of artists use song lyrics.
Not to mention the classic Untitled.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, the dreaded Untitled. I was really trying to find a better way to deal with things than that.
You were talking about avoiding artistic tropes, so, you know, maybe I'm about to jump into one. Say you're working on something more elaborate and it's a painting, mm-hmm. that you are kind of talking to yourself mm-hmm. as you work, mm-hmm. and that sort of relates to the invented language, because what you're doing in front of yourself is a kind of internal monologue, but mm-hmm. created visually. Mm-hmm. Is that a painterly trope? I guess it is, yeah.
It is, but it's one that it's important to look at, because there are not many people in the art world that really come up with new languages or anything like it. I mean, it's generally kind of a slowly evolving form. As you work, I mean, it's really difficult to describe. You are thinking purely visually, so it's a parallel form of communication. I don't want to say parallel language, but it's definitely a parallel form. And instead of translating your world through verbal language, you're translating it, in the case of oil painting, for example, into colour and into brush marks, into kind of certain movements. So you have to, these movements and colours have to make some kind of sense of your experience, which can be relayed to somebody else. Again, my language fails me when it comes to talking about painterly language and painterly tropes, but I guess that's why I paint.
I was talking Toki Pona there with Owen McHugh, and his show opens tonight at the Curling Gallery in Dublin. And if you'd like to hear an extended version of that conversation with extra invented languages, tune in to the Culture File Weekly tomorrow at 7 here on RTE Lyric FM.